The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Tom Curran's Patriots Talk Podcast. Rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL Draft yielded a couple of big blue chip program defenders for the Patriots. We bring in our guy, Phil Perry, to discuss first Christian Barmore, then Ronnie Perkins. But let's talk overall. This is a Patriots defense that sneakily was horrendous at times last year. They were a disgrace against the run in a number of games. They let up 250 to Miami late in the season. They let up 197 and 190 to the Bills and I think the Niners in back-to-back weeks. Yeah.
So the Rams ran over them.
Happened a lot. And also you saw the sacks drop from 47 to 24. You got two guys who are addressing those needs and helping further the depth that we saw the Patriots started to build in the offseason already, Phil.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job in free agency, actually, of addressing some of those spots. At least, you know, kind of the high-end, super needy spots, right? I think you needed two starting outside linebackers right off the bat. And they get Kyle Van Noy, they get Matt Judon. Judon's a high-priced guy, we know. They needed interior depth, for sure, especially even after losing Adam Butler. So they bring back Lawrence Guy, but they also add Henry Anderson, who's sort of an underrated interior guy. They bring in Devon Godshaw. You know, two AFC East guys that they know well. So I didn't feel like front seven was necessarily a huge need for them, Tom. But in the case of Barmore, you got a blue chip player from a blue chip program who was a first round talent all day long from everybody that I spoke to. He just has a few maturity concerns. You know, I guess you call them character concerns. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban addressed those publicly, though, recently, gave him his support. And so if he's signing off on this player, and he's doing it to Bill Belichick, I'm sure Bill Belichick feels great about trading up to the top of the second round and getting him.
6'5", 310. He had 8 sacks last year. He was defensive MVP of the national championship game. He is a disruptor. And at 6'5", 310, I'm going to talk about dimensions, and I'm going to talk about a player that I'm not saying is a comp, but just dimensions-wise. 6'6", 306 was Richard Seymour. Mm-hmm. Obviously, also a three-technique defensive end. So Seymour played interior a ton as well, but when we look at the Patriots, they lost Danny Shelton in free agency. They signed Bo Allen. Bo Allen didn't come in and contribute anything because he was injured. Now, Barmore isn't a space eater. He's not one of those, you know, just going to plop him down like a troll and he's going to eat everything up. He is going to be a souped up Adam Butler who can do a little bit of what the other guys do. But he was kind of a part-time player, only 6 starts at Alabama, because they're so deep, they're rotating guys in and out. So we're going to see that here in New England, too. We're not going to see Christian Barmore have an insane rookie year, I would think. Right, Phil?
I don't think so. I mean, he has that ability. He could be a three-down guy. You could keep him out there on the field as, you know, we see those, whatever you want to call them, amoeba packages, bus stop packages, where they have the one guy lined up on the center. That would be Christian Barmore because he's that explosive. He has that kind of get off at the line of scrimmage. But he's also really good against the run. He can anchor. And it's just for him, Tom, the question has been – consistency.
What's up with that? I mean, what's up with why do we have, and it was a weak defensive line and defensive tackle draft by all expert accounts, but do you think there's anything sinister involved with this draft? No. Or is it just, you know, he's a lot.
I don't think it's sinister. I think it's immaturity. I think it's, you know, a question at times of how does he handle adversity? That's one question that, you know, I know coaches and scouts are asking about this particular player before the draft because the flashes, Tom, are ridiculous. I mean, he is lighting up offensive lines that are loaded with pro talent, guys that are getting drafted, guys that have already been drafted, day one, day two offensive linemen from Notre Dame and Ohio State in the college football playoff. He was the most dominant player on the field at times, going up against other pros. It's a pretty good indication of how dominant this guy could be at the next level. He's only 21 years old, and I think that is, you know, the fact that he probably acts like a lot of us did when we were 21 years old at times, or at least that's how scouts are seeing it or hearing it. So why, the question then becomes, is he so dominant against Notre Dame and Ohio State at times, and he's not doing that every single week? So again, I think it's just a maturity thing, but if Nick Saban says, no, he's fine, he's going to class when he's supposed to be going to class, he's doing everything we're asking him to do football-wise, then I think, again, you are willing, more than willing, to sacrifice the kind of capital that you sacrifice to move up and get a guy like this. Tom, I think the other reason this is a good move is because they really don't have that many available 53-man roster spots for rookies. They didn't have 10 available spots for 10 draft picks this weekend. Mm-hmm. So to take a couple of those fourth-round picks, you had three, package them together, move up and get a first-round talent early in the second round, that's a good get.
And that's the thing we talked about last night about the second round, or even the late first, because I look at Barmore as comparable to the drafting at 32 of Dominique Easley. We can get to that in a second, but this is where the Patriots take their swings. I prefer this swing to a Jawan Williams swing as a niche defender from Vanderbilt who might be applicable in some circumstances, or to Cyrus Jones, an electric punt returner who might be able to crack as a defensive back, or Jordan Richards, or we can go on. But those are guys who were niche players. This is a guy who dropped a la Rob Gronkowski. Not going to be Rob Gronkowski, but you got great value from a blue chip player who's there for a reason that, again, isn't sinister, but made people back off him.
And I would prefer that kind of swing to the Easley swing. I mean, with Easley, you're talking about an injury thing that, you know, could pop up at any time and the guy's career is over. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be the case with Christian Barmore. If you feel comfortable that you're going to be able to fit him into your program the way you want him to, could have a really productive player for a long time. Again, I don't know if he's going to be Richard Seymour either, but that's the kind of body type you're talking about. That's the kind of versatility, meaning run and pass game disruptor, that you're talking about potentially with this kid.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's get to Ronnie Perkins, because, you know, the Patriots' second level struggled as well. Collins gone, Hightower gone, Van Noy gone. Winovich was in, then he was out, then he was back in again. Uche was really a non-factor until later in the season. Then when he got out there, you're like, oh, that's nice athletic plays. I can see the upside. Jennings, I don't think he's going to be a destructive force, but he's certainly worth keeping around. He has significant upside. So where do you see Ronnie Perkins fitting in? First, what are this guy's strengths? Because it seems like he plays with some edge. Is he similar to Winovich? Dimension seems similar. Or is he more explosive?
I think he is Chase Winovich in a lot of ways. I think it's a good comp, Tom, because 6'2", 250-ish. You know, he's going to play outside linebacker the way Chase Winovich does here, but he's not as big as somebody like Judon, and so I'm not sure you'd trust him as an edge setter. You know, he is the kind of guy who in college really thrived off of the same move that we see Winovich use a lot of times, which is get into the tackle and then get real low.
Yep.
And create like a small surface area for that guy to block and run right by him. And he was really productive last year. I mean, played six games, so shortened season, 5.5 sacks. Like, that's pretty good. Even if it's the Big 12 and everybody's chucking it all over the lot a lot of the times anyway. He was not a prototypical Patriot, Tom, for a few reasons. He's just not a freaky athlete. So I wonder if the athleticism will play at the next level. Like, he's well over 4.5 seconds on the short shuttle. So the change of direction, not real good. He's a little stiff. You know, I think he's got enough pop in his hands to obviously make the Patriots consider him at this spot, but he's not a big guy either. So I don't think this is great news for Chase Winovich, bottom line. I don't see him as a three down player. I see him as a sub package kind of edge rusher, and we'll see what happens with Chase from here.
Yeah. I think Winovich, you know, just given the weirdness of his substitution pattern and the times we saw him on the sidelines, you know, not talking with, like, yelling at Bill Belichick, pleading his case at times.
Impassioned discussions, at least.
Yeah. Like, this is something I've never really seen. I wonder if he becomes a trade chip and he finds a place, you know, the Patriots find a place for him someplace else, because they are pretty well stacked. I mean, when you look, and I've said this a billion times, when you look at the Patriots edge situation prior to this year, there wasn't an offensive tackle, an offensive line coach, or an offensive coordinator riding the bus to the stadium this year saying, oh my God, what are we going to do about this guy? I mean, it was Adam Butler, it was Dietrich Wise, it was Chase Winovich, and that was your pass rush.
It was Uche towards the end of the year, you know, he came through with a few pressures, but yeah, you're right. I mean, no Dante Hightower last year. Like, they went into this offseason needing front seven help, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, because they were pretty well stocked, like, you know, Chase Winovich is not a game breaker, but as your fourth outside linebacker, like, that's not bad, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he's been productive when he's been out there in passing situations. So to me, Tom, this Perkins pick is reminiscent a little bit of the Damian Harris pick from a couple years ago. If you remember the explanation after they picked Harris, because they already had Sony Michel, they just drafted Sony Michel the year before, and they won a Super Bowl with, you know, riding that guy. It was essentially the explanation. This guy was just too good for us to pass on. He was too high on our board. The grade was too high that at that point we just saw a really good player and we had to take him. So it wasn't a need, but we couldn't let him keep sliding. That to me feels like this Perkins pick right now, because I think they could use a player at receiver. I think they could use a corner, and they passed on some pretty good ones. You know, Trey Brown, the corner from Oklahoma, you know, Ronnie Brown's teammate. The receiver, Simi Fehoko from Stanford, the receiver, Jalen Darden from North Texas. Like, there are some guys that would have fit the Patriots and what they like at those positions. And they pass, I assume, because they just had a really high grade on Perkins.
Set the table a little bit for Saturday when the Patriots have a fleet of picks, too many picks almost.
Again, I would be expecting trades up. And I wrote this earlier today. I thought they might even trade up twice today and just say, this is going to be a draft where we try to come away with, you know, three really good players. And maybe that's how they feel that way right now with Perkins as the third really good player in their eyes. But I would expect them to try to package some of these together and move on up again, because Tom, I put together that 53 and I'm looking at it. And I'm saying, okay, they could move on from N'Keal Harry. I think we'd all agree on that. I think it's possible that they would move on from Juwan Williams. He hasn't really shown you much to say we need to keep giving that guy chances. After that, there aren't a whole lot of glaring names on the 53 list that you would put together and say, well, that guy's just got no shot at this team. So if they come away with a player or two tomorrow, like, that wouldn't surprise me. Just try to get the two best and somehow compile the picks you have and move on up.
And what'll be interesting is, because of this influx of talent through free agency, really through free agency, because it's only three guys drafted, but you might see the Patriots scrutinize their own team and say, you know what? I don't even know if we need this guy. Call Indianapolis, call the Chargers, call the Bengals, see if somebody wants to take this guy for that guy that they're not using.
Right.
So I could see player trades tomorrow as well, as this goes along.
Can I make one more half kidding prediction?
Of course you could.
Evan McPherson, kicker, University of Florida, fifth round. I mean, why wouldn't they felt like they needed a rookie kicker last year. They could have had Nick Folk. They ended up bringing Nick Folk in. Obviously the rookie didn't work, and Justin Rohrwasser. Nick Folk's not going to be your kicker forever. Like, this kid's supposedly pretty good. Evan McPherson, maybe he's a fifth rounder.
The hard thing about that with COVID, you don't have an opportunity to do a full tattoo check. And if he doesn't check out there, you can't bring him in. It's just a total dice roll. All right, Phil. For our fans on the next Pats podcast, for us,
that was me slamming my head up against
Patriots
the microphone.
Talk podcast. This is Tom Curran. Phil has one more hit to do with Boston Sports Tonight. Friday night. So BST Fridays is ongoing. Jason Tatum dropped 60. I don't know if you knew that, Phil. He dropped 60, and apparently there were no turnovers.
Holy smokes. What a night. I mean, the things you miss when you're wondering when Simi Fehoko is going to come off the board. My goodness.
I'm going to use Simi Fehoko as an expletive throughout the weekend and see how it goes. Phil, thanks so much. John Henry is our producer. I'm at home and trying not to yell because the family might have turned in after a long week of work. Peace out, everybody. Talk to you more next week about this Patriots draft.